Well, 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 looky here. It's a fish to fry. Hey, everybody. Welcome to episode number 465 of this here electronic engineering podcast called Amelia's Weekly Fish Fry, brought to you by eejournal.com and written, produced, and hosted by yours truly, Amelia Dalton. Hey, everybody. Yes, I am back from a bit of a COVID-induced hiatus, and yes, I'm feeling much better now. This week, we are talking about the world's first and smallest sensor that can enable touch gestures through any material. That's right. I am super happy to announce that Dan Gayle, co-founder and chief business officer at UltraSense Systems, is joining me today. Dan and I are digging into the details of UltraSense's new 3D ultrasound sensor that is looking to bring in a whole new era in user interfaces. But before we bring in Dan, let's keep going with this ultra-tiny theme with a little news you may have missed. Did you know that a group of researchers at the Université de Montréal created the world's smallest antenna? Yep, and they used DNA to do it. Okay, before we jump into the details, let's back up a bit. Even though the world's first DNA synthesizer to create molecules that encode genetic information was created over 40 years ago, it's only been in the last couple years that researchers have found that DNA can also be used to build a variety of nanomachines and nanostructures. So this team at the University of Montreal have created a DNA-based fluorescent nanoantenna that can actually help characterize the function of proteins. Okay, so think of this kind of like a two-way radio. This nanoantenna can both transmit and receive radio waves. The study's senior author explains it like this. He says, the fluorescent nanoantenna receives light in one color, or wavelength, and depending on the movement of the protein it senses, then transmits light back in another color, which we can detect. Now, one of the main innovations of these new nanoantennas is the receiver part of the antenna is also employed to sense the molecular surface of the protein studied via molecular interaction. So, why is using DNA so powerful when it comes to these kind of nanomachines? Well, one of the biggest advantages is that DNA chemistry is programmable and relatively simple. Scott Haroon, doctoral student at the Université de Montréal in chemistry and the study's first author, explains the use of their new nanoantenna like this. He says, the DNA nanoantennas can be synthesized with different lengths and flexibilities to optimize their function. One can easily attach a fluorescent molecule to the DNA and then attach this fluorescent nanoantenna to the biological nanomachine, such as an enzyme. By carefully tuning the nanoantenna design, we have created 5-nanometer-long antennas that produce a distinct signal when the protein is performing its biological function. Now, the road forward with these kind of nanoantennas is pretty amazing. They could potentially open up new avenues in not only nanotechnology, but biochemistry as well. This team points out that they were able to detect for the first time in real time the function of a specific enzyme that causes various cancers and intestinal inflammation. Not only that, this team believes that these nanoantennas will also help them understand how natural nanomachines function or malfunction, also help chemists identify promising new drugs, as well as guide nanoengineers to develop improved nanomachines. And I think this team from the Université de Montréal knows they're onto something special, because they are also working on setting up a startup company to commercialize this technology and make this nanoantenna available to most researchers and the pharmaceutical industry. Wow. Nano antennas, here we come. So if you want even more information about the world's tiniest antenna, I've included a couple links below the player on this week's fish frying page on eejournal.com, including the associated research paper called Monitoring Protein Conformational Changes Using Fluorescent Nano Antennas. All right, from one super tiny technology to another, let's bring in Dan from Ultrasense Systems to talk about the world's first and smallest sensor that can enable touch gestures through any material. Let's go. Hi, Dan. Thank you so much for joining me.
It's a pleasure being here today, Amelia. Thank you.
Absolutely. Okay, so first, for my audience who may not know, what is Ultrasense Systems all about?
Well, Ultrasense Systems is really about changing the UI UX paradigm from mechanical to digital. So in essence, what we've done is we've turned ultrasound into a touch user interface. And in the process of doing so, we created the world's smallest ultrasound sensor on a chip. Not only can it detect a touch using ultrasound, but we also built in strain sensing into that as well. And over the last year or so, we've added machine learning to that. So we have a new product coming out that we're announcing next week. And this product is really designed to replace a cluster of buttons. Our first generation device got designed into smartphones. It's still getting designed into electric toothbrushes, TWS earbuds. But we wanted something to replace a cluster of buttons. And that's our next generation device coming out called TouchPoint Edge. And what's unique about that is that we have a neural touch engine. So we're using neural processing, machine learning, and we've hardwired that into the chip. Never been done before for touch sensing. So we're super excited about getting that to the market.
Excellent. Okay, so let's talk first about your Ultrasense TouchPoint sensors. Now, how exactly do they work, Dan?
Well, as I mentioned, we have incorporated a transducer into the silicon for transmit and receive. It's a PMUT sensor using piezoelectric. There's a lot of them in there. And we transmit an ultrasound beam basically through any material and any material thickness. That's the theoretical function of ultrasound. If you look at our device, it's very tiny, 2.6 by 1.4 millimeters, and it's less than a half a millimeter in thickness. And that little tiny sensor can typically transmit an ultrasound beam through about 5 millimeters of material. So we're able to detect a touch using ultrasound, but we also integrated 4 tiny strain sensors into the silicon as well. And so now we can actually measure the surface deflection down to the nanometer level. And in addition to that, in that tiny monolithic silicon die, we also have the complete analog front end as well as an MCU to process our touch algorithms. So it's a super powerful, fully integrated sensor really designed to replace or replicate the function of a mechanical button.
That's fantastic. Now, you have different touch point solutions for different user interface requirements, right? Can you explain a bit about the different touch point solutions you guys are offering today?
Absolutely. The first one we came out with almost 2 years ago is called TouchPoint Z. And as I mentioned earlier, that's been designed into smartphone, electric toothbrushes. It's getting designed into your TWS earbuds as a squeeze sensor and a few other consumer IoT devices. And that is a fully integrated device, has embedded processing capability in that sensor. Our next generation device that we're releasing next week, that's called TouchPoint Edge, and that is an SoC. So that one actually marries with our TouchPoint P solution. TouchPoint P is a transducer. It incorporates that same ultrasound as well as strain sensing, but for all intents and purposes, it's a dumb sensor. We stripped out the processing capability, one, to make it cheaper, but two, to put all the processing in the TouchPoint Edge so we could also add the machine learning to that. You know, the applications for that one, really for, as I said, a cluster of buttons, you know, that could be the steering wheel in your car, that could be the door panel, the overhead lighting console in the vehicle as well. So we're really targeting automotive applications, but there's a plethora of industrial and other applications that it can be used for as well.
Let's get back to that TouchPoint Edge.
So you guys announced the world's first and smallest sensor that enables touch gestures through any material, including wood, glass, metal, plastic, at CES this year. So tell me more about those TouchPoint Edge. And this solution also incorporates machine learning, like you said, right?
Yeah, that's correct. You know, one of the things that we wanted to do for a cluster of buttons, and when we say a cluster, this could be between 4 and 8 sensors. From 1 to 3 sensors, you know, it makes sense to use our TouchPoint Z because of the internal processing capability. But when we get to a cluster of buttons, we want to reduce the cost. And to do that, we took the processing out of the transducer itself and just put it into the SoC. So we can drastically reduce the cost of that. It makes it very flexible for users to be able to integrate just the transducer. They're still very tiny devices, and marry those with our SoC.
Fantastic. Now, I can imagine that this kind of technology would be great for a lot of different applications. But what kind of specific applications are you looking at TouchPoint Edge?
Yeah, with TouchPoint Edge, we're looking at the applications, I would say mostly in the automobile today. I would say 60 or 70% of the inbound interest that we get just with what we're doing is from either automotive OEMs or automotive tier ones, really to enable smart surfaces. And what I mean by that is we see that by 2027, 2028, there are no more mechanical buttons in the vehicle. And so we are one of the biggest enablers for that. And when I say for that, I mean smart surfaces. Smart surface is really backside illumination to show the user where to touch. The user touches a solid state surface, and then there's some sort of feedback, whether that's haptic or LED or audio. And so we, you know, really enable all that. So we provide the input today where we can be very tightly coupled with the haptic or the LED. But going forward, you start to see this convergence where potentially in the next year or two, all that can be fully integrated into one solution.
Excellent. All right, Dan, I think it's time for your off-the-cuff question. Now, since you haven't been on my show before, here we go. Now, a lot of us can't have our favorite foods for one reason or another, supply chain, travel restrictions. So, Dan, if you could have one food right now, it doesn't matter if you need a passport to get there, it's on the other side of the world, what would you have?
I would say it would be Tsukemen ramen from Japan. I used to live in Japan. I used to visit all parts of Japan, and ramen is one of my favorites. And, you know, in San Mateo here, there are a couple of good ramen places, but, you know, nothing like in Japan. So that's where I would go first.
That's fantastic. And there have been a lot of different, I would go to Japan for XYZ answers. So that's perfect.
Literally the best food out there. Pretty good.
Right. I would tend to agree. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for your time, Dan. I really appreciate it.
My pleasure, Amelia. Great to talk to you today.
And if you want even more information about these super cool new ultrasonic sensors from Ultrasense, I would strongly encourage you to check out my fellow EE Journal editor, Max Maxfield's new article called Meet the World's Smallest, Most Integrated 3D Ultrasonic Sensor. And you can find this article by heading on over to the article section of eejournal.com or simply click the link below the player on this week's Fish Frying page on EE Journal. Hey, have you checked out EE Journal on social media yet? Well, you should. You can find us at facebook.com/EEJournal. If you're into Twitter, you can monitor our tweets at EEJournalTFM. And don't forget, if you want to follow my personal Twitter account, check out AmeliaD1978. And hey, if LinkedIn is more your thing, sure, I dig it. You can follow us or me on LinkedIn as well. And we have a YouTube channel, youtube.com/EEJournal. Folks, it is chock full of all kinds of techie videos, including our very popular Chalk Talk webcast series hosted by yours truly. And you can subscribe to our EE Journal YouTube channel as well. Also, by clicking the links below the player on this week's Fish Frying page, you can subscribe to this here podcast through Spotify, Podbean, or Apple Podcasts. And remember, if you'd like to further support this podcast, please leave me a review on that podcasting platform of your choice. It really does help. Also, if you'd like any further information about the stories covered in today's show, just head on over to eejournal.com and look for this week's Fish Frying page. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. If you know of any cool new technology or heck you just want to chat, shoot me a line at Amelia, that's A-M-E-L-I-A, at eejournal.com, or post a comment on our forums on EE Journal. For the week of January 21st, 2022, I'm Amelia Dalton, and you've been fried.